couple of weeks ago, Johnny shared, Pastor shared, vision for the church over the coming months, years even. And I believe God laid this on my heart. And I know it's been spoken about, some of these verses have been spoken about in the past and have been used this year. I know it's been used by Debbie this year on a post on Facebook. So I'll read from verse 1 to verse 4. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. Isaiah here is speaking about Israel and how barren Israel is. And he's talking about the blessings that are going to come to that barren Israel. Now, I believe this is a message for Sobey Bridge. Sobey Bridge is a desolate place. Pastor brought in figures 2 weeks ago about how many people follow Jesus. And if I remember the figures right, it was about 1 in 300. That's a desolate place. But there's hope. God's got a promise here. But we have to play our part in that promise. So, the world that we live in today, the most sought-after things, self-gratification, selfishness, do what I want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. This is the barrenness. This is the way of the world that it is now. We need to be in that world to change that world. How do we do that change? Verse 2, God's saying to us, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. Don't know if any of you here have been camping. I started doing camping probably in my teens. And I did Duke of Edinburgh stuff. So I started off with a big rucksack, with a small tent that fit in the rucksack. That small tent was a one-man tent. Couldn't do much in it apart from sleep. And it had a little compartment at the front that gave you a tiny bit of shelter to cook. But it was a small tent. It was a selfish tent. I'll come back to that a little bit later as well. So, after doing Duke of Edinburgh's, walking miles, doing the stuff like that, I then went on holiday with my parents. My parents had what was called a house tent in those days, big square thing. But it had bedroom compartments. It had an area where you could put a stove so that you could cook. And then it had another area where you could sit. And then it would open up so you get the fresh air in. So you've gone from selfish to a small group. I then went on a camping trip with school. I'm now in what I would consider to be like a small marquee where there's a dozen of us sleep. But then there's another marquee where all the cooking was done. So it's still camping, but the tents are enlarging. My best example of this, and I'm going to use Ealing Festival for a lot of what I'm talking about this morning. Ealing Festival, you have kids that go in, little tents. You have families that go in, bigger tents. Sometimes a caravan, but I class that as cheating if you're camping. And it don't come good with it. Strengthen your cords and your tent pegs and stuff. But you've plenty of families there in bigger tents. As your tent gets bigger, your guy lines and your ropes get more substantive. the pegs get bigger. Now, at Ealing Festival, there's marquees as well. There's three marquees. So you've got children, families, and then twice a day, you've got meetings in marquees for the different groups. So you've got three kids groups, if I remember right, and then an adults meeting. And at least once in the 10 days, if not twice, because I haven't been for a few years, everybody gets together in the main marquee for a whole celebration. So this reminds me of what Pastor was saying about wanting to establish small groups. He also mentioned what's called the Engels scale. Some of you may have heard of it, some of you may not. I was looking into it this morning, and quite a lot of people say there's about 10 steps. Some of them have a few more steps, some of them like a little bit artistic license on it. But basically, you start on the bottom step. The bottom step is not acknowledging that there's a God. Your second one is, yeah, I think there might be a God. Then, yes, I believe there's a God. And then it slowly builds until you have a belief in Jesus, that you come to repentance and give your life to Jesus. And then it goes even further, that you then become a member of the body and then you start to grow. The small groups will enable every step of that. And it's these small groups where we need to be looking to see where God's calling us to. So it might be that you want to do Tenpin Bowling. Tenpin Bowling is right at the very bottom. You go once a month, once every 2 months. You start to build relationships up with the other people that are going bowling. Conversation will always come around to church. Who are you? Why are you here? God will always give us that opportunity to share Jesus. And that gets them on the next scale. There might be something about this. It's like the message that the kids, that Pastor gave last week. Check out Jesus for yourself. It's not just about somebody that stood at the front telling everybody, check out Jesus. So, Ealing Festival. Ealing Festival runs on volunteers. So when you book to go to Ealing Festival, there's an option of how much it's going to cost you and what you want to go as. So the cheapest non-volunteer is to go as a guest and self-catering. A little bit more expensive, in fact, it's probably the most expensive, is a guest and catered. So you have all your food provided, it's all cooked for you. But then you've got volunteers. Volunteer self-catered or volunteer catered. So we've got workers. These workers are then put into small groups. There's a cleaning crew. There's a kitchen crew. There's a welcoming crew. There's a security crew. There's some that are on leadership that organise. You've got your worship team. All these small groups come together to provide Ealing Festival. So, question is, for us, and it's a question for myself as well, where do we want to be in Sobey Bridge Church? Do we want to be the person that sat here on holiday, because that's what a guest catered is fully. They're on holiday, they're doing nothing apart from receiving. Because you can receive there. Or do we want to step out and become a volunteer to get involved with a small group? I know what I want to do. I want to be a volunteer. I want to be in a small group. And I probably want to be more than one small group. I'm being a bit greedy. But that's where we go. Ealing Festival doesn't work unless there's volunteers. I believe nobody gets paid for it. I think some of the leadership may get expenses out of it, but most of the money that goes in pays for the site and everything else. So God's wanting workers. Now, those of you who are in employment, do you get holidays? Yeah. But how do you get them holidays? You have to work. You don't get holidays unless you are a worker. Sitting at home being on benefits is not a holiday. It's just being lazy. So this is for me as well. I don't want to sit at home and be somebody on benefits who's just receiving all the time. I want to stand up. I want to work. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to do what God's calling me to do. So what I'm asking today is, as a church, we have looked recently about the church. We've got a lovely building. We're here. We've got something that is a good representation of who we are. But how much are we going out into Sobey Bridge? How much are we involved in socialising and developing the community that we are a part of? Do we sit here in church and do church, or do we go out? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Doesn't say sit and invite people in. Therefore, go. It's asking us to go. We cannot help anybody in Sobey Bridge by just sitting here in this nice building that we've got nice facilities, which we have. It's a credit to the church and to the people that have built it up to this so far. But church is not about buildings, it's about people. And we need to be reaching those people in Sobey Bridge. And I believe the vision that God's given the pastor about these small groups is where we can reach these people at a level that they're at, not at a level that we're at. These small groups also are beneficial to us. They help us grow. They help us gain a better understanding of God's word and a better, how can I put this? Equip us better to go out and do God's work. We may be afraid, so going back to verse 3 now, we may be afraid of stepping out, but I see Isaiah 54 from start to finish is just full of God's promises. Verse 1, will be numerous, it's a promise. Verse 2 is something that we have to do, which is enlarge our tents. We need to start stepping out. Verse 3, your descendants will possess nations and will resettle desolate cities. It's there for the taking. I've read a lot of stuff on the internet about these verses, and it's used quite often for missions work of going abroad. This is our mission field. As a church, this is our mission field, and this is where we should be. This is where we should be. Verse 4, I really do like this verse. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. We shouldn't be afraid of stepping out. We've got God's word, we've got the Bible, which we should be reading and studying every day. And I'll put my hand up. I don't always do it every day. But I'm hoping that as I grow, that that will become more constant and that I will learn and that I can pass on my knowledge and experience. And that's what these small groups are about. It's about our experience. We've all got a testimony. We've all got a story of where we were and where we are now. We've all got that message of Jesus from not knowing him to now knowing him. We're here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have some sort of testimony about Jesus and what he's done in our lives. So we shouldn't fear. Just as a little thing that we've been doing in our small group, at the start of every meeting now, we're giving small testimonies of what God's done during the week through us. And it is just so encouraging that everybody's got something to share, whether it be something big or something small. We've all had conversations. I was speaking to a lady on the train the other day. I was working with James. We'd got on the train to Leeds and we got on the Blackpool to York train. There'd been a delay in Blackpool of an hour. This train consisted of two carriages. It was packed. As we got on, a lady recognised that James needed somewhere to sit, and a lady gave up her seat so James could sit down. So I'm stood with James. There's another lady and a couple of kids sat at a table. You know, the table's on the train. You've got two facing. Got talking to this lady because she's coming from Blackpool and she's trying to get to Skegness. Because of the hour's delay, she's now got another two trains to catch, whereas she only had one if the trains had been working and on time. Bearing in mind, this is the first day of the new timetables. It was a mess. So I got talking to this lady. Just normal conversation about how busy the train was, how bad the rail network is, and everything else. And we got talking about James and his love for trains. And I said, sometimes, because she's from Blackpool, we use the church minibus to go to Blackpool. So I'm going to get church in this conversation somehow. As it turned out, as a child, she lived in Darlington and her dad took her to an Ealing Pentecostal church. So it was nice to be able to share. But it's also nice to see that when we step out, God's got a conversation for us. Might not be something in depth or massively spiritual, but I were able to say to this lady, Google the Ealing churches in Blackpool. Go to them. You've been, you know what it's like. You know what the people are like. Because she was full of praise for the church that she'd been to when she was a kid. So it's just giving that opportunity. And in the small groups, we have testimonies like that every week now. And we will keep building those confidences up. So I just want to encourage you that in sort of summing up, that we get involved with a small group. If you're not involved in one already, speak to pastor. If you've got any ideas of how you may want to take a small group, start a small group. Rachel's not here. She must be with the kids. Rachel did the... No, it was Dawn. Did the crafts. So, wasn't massively attended, but it's a start. And it's taking that step in faith to do something. Do something that you like, because you'll be enthusiastic over it. So if you're really enthusiastic about ten-pin bowling, start a group. Go ten-pin bowling once every couple of months. I know as a church, I'll be organising something in the new year for the whole church to go, because we've usually gone just men only. Well, the ladies and the kids like it as well. So we will go as a church next year. But maybe somebody might want to take that on board, that ten-pin bowling might be a good thing, might be something I could really get interested in. But it's a way of talking to people. You might just want to go to a local cafe. You might want to go walking. You might enjoy walking. Phil. I know Phil enjoys walking. I've done about 35 kilometres this week, just walking dog. Each day I've gone a bit further and a bit further. So I think yesterday I did about 15 kilometres, around 10 miles. So I'm hoping the dog's tired now. So, just to recap. In fact, I've got a little bit more. Right at the end of Isaiah 54, so if you've still got your Bibles there, so verse 15 to 17. If anyone fiercely assails you, this is taken from the New American Standard Bible, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. God's got us back. He created everything. So whatever's coming against us, God has created. God is bigger than whatever is there to attack and go for us. So these small groups, we can step out in faith that God's got us back, and he always will have. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We've got the victory. We've got the victory in Jesus. So we're in a battle. This is my conclusion. We need to arm ourselves. The word is where we arm ourselves. No weapon that's formed against us can prosper. How we can expand our tents is done by getting the word of God, sharing the gospel in our community, which builds us up into one big community, which is one big church. And if it's done in small groups where we meet together, maybe once, twice a month or once a week, whatever, those small groups will expand and expand. God's word and God's church will expand and expand. Thank you.